Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padanti Kam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I think Radhishyam Prabhu mentioned that he wanted me to continue with the seminar material, so he's not here, so I don't know. That's what I heard. Is that correct? Yeah, that's the idea. Okay. So we were speaking this morning of the third verse from Srinada Peace and Srinada. And that is that there are, this is the most important part in executing bhakti is that we try to cultivate bhakti in the mood of these qualities of humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. Now, in that third verse, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there are six things that are what we call causes of unsteadiness in bhakti, things that make one unsteady in the process of bhakti. And these things are called faulty bhakti, or unsteady bhakti. And I'll give you the Sanskrit terms. One is utsaha mayi. It's called sudden enthusiasm. Then there's Gana Tarala, G-H-A-N-A-T-A-R-A-L-A. Gana Tarala is, the word is lethargy. First one is Utsaha Mayi, it's sudden enthusiasm. Second one is Gana Tarala, lethargy. The third is Vyudha Vikalpa, Vyudha, V-H-U-D-H-A, Vikalpa, and that is doubts. The fourth is Visaya Sangara, that's sense gratification, Visaya. Five is niyamakshana. That is, niyamaksha means unrealistic vows, vows that are unrealistic. And the last one is taranga rangini, T-A-R-A-N-G-A rangini. That is desire for adoration and distinction. So the first one is utsaha mayi. These are called the faults of bhakti. And the first one is, it's called sudden enthusiasm. And it's pretty much prominent with new people. People who first join Krishna consciousness. And sometimes there's this sudden enthusiasm. They wanna all of a sudden become, you know, pure devotees. In America, we used to call that PDF, is pure devotee syndrome. After 1 year, you're doing so much service. You're always surrendered. But then you start thinking, pure devotee. Complete serenity. So it's like you're enthusiastic, but you develop this idea that you're just advanced because you have so much, and sometimes you have more enthusiasm than the devotees have been here for a while. A lot of eagerness, but really, you just all of a sudden artificially put yourself on a platform, thinking that you achieved the goal. I'm a pure devotee. I'm fixed up. I'm eager to chant my rounds. I'm eager to associate. I'm eager to. So this sudden enthusiasm. It's a fault because, in the sense that we are still very much filled with material desires, yet. But we have some eagerness for the process, and we just think we have achieved the process already. Enthusiasm is good, but it's necessary. It's in fact it's the basis. The basis of anything we do in spiritual life is based on our enthusiasm, utsahan. But that doesn't mean because we're enthusiastic we're a pure devotee or reached the goal. We're still in the process of purification. So that's kind of, that's prominent in new people. A lot of enthusiasm. But sometimes, after some time, they lose their enthusiasm. When they realize they're not pure devotees. Or when they realize the process is just, it's much more than just being enthusiastic. It's also being determined, it's being patient. It's developing other good qualities. So that's a fault. And the second one is gana tarala. That's called on again, off again. 1 minute I'm so fired up, and the next minute no enthusiasm. Fired up, on again, off again. They call it thick and thin. And depended on so much upon the externals. I'm enthusiastic and then I'm lazy, back and forth. My enthusiasm depends on so many things. And then when it's not there, I lose my enthusiasm. Someone's translating? Yeah, okay. Good. So the platform is to be steady. Mm-hmm. The second quality is become determined. One has to be determined. And there are obstacles. And there are many obstacles on the path of bhakti. So a person on again, off again, and they're so much affected by the obstacles. A little obstacle, and they lose their enthusiasm. You know, today somebody said something I didn't like, and therefore I'm not happy. I'm not serving. Or the prasadam was burnt. Something went wrong. Or I'm giving a service I don't like, so I lose my enthusiasm. On again, off again. Bhogatyaga, we call it. Sometimes giving all renunciation and next time trying to enjoy everything. 1 minute I'm so renounced, next minute I want to enjoy everything. 1 minute I want to take sannyas, and next minute I think, well, maybe I should be grihastha. So on again, off again. It all depends on, it's like, you know, we change. Of course, in India, the weather doesn't change so much, but you go to the West, the weather changes every minute. Some places in the West, it's one day it's sunny and warm, the next day it's cold and rainy. And the next day it's sunny and warm again. So it's the weather changes like that. But so people, their enthusiasm is always changing. So one has to see that the process is for the pleasure of Krishna, so one should remain steady in their service. Steadiness is what attracts the attention of Krishna, to remain steady. The third one is doubts. I have doubts. Doubting the philosophy, doubting the instructions of the spiritual master, doubting whether the process of Krishna consciousness works or not. It may work, but it maybe it works for somebody else, but it doesn't work for me. Or I just have doubts. Most of the time, devotees have doubts in themselves. You know, I don't think I can do it. Doubts. Or just like sometimes we speak about the glories of the holy name, describing the glories of the holy name, and just how glorious, and people have doubts. Well, those people, that statement about the glories of the holy name is just some, it's beyond what is really, it's like imagination. It's just there because, just to give us some enthusiasm, but it's not really like that. Doubt the holy name, the glories of the whole. Doubt the revealed scriptures. That's a big doubt. People actually don't have faith in the scriptures. The scriptures say that Lord Brahma has four heads, he has 100 heads, he has 1,000 heads, he has 1,000,000 heads, he has 10,000,000 heads. This is all illusion. Doubting. Or doubting that Krishna married 16,108 wives. How can he possibly have that many wives? I only have one wife and it's hard enough, you know. So, you know, doubts. Doubts in the philosophy, doubts in the statements of the scriptures, doubts in my ability to... Just doubts. Doubts are compared to what I call demons. And Krishna is called Madhusudan, and he kills demons, so he kills doubts. But doubts are like demons. They make our enthusiasm go down. They make our faith go down. We lose faith, we lose enthusiasm if doubts come. Therefore, one should always clear doubts. If you have a question, some doubt, you should always discuss it with other devotees, discuss it with people who can help. Don't keep doubts in your mind, because doubts, they grow. If a little doubt can become a big doubt, and then one will sometimes leave Krishna consciousness if the doubt becomes too strong. So doubts are like demons. It interrupts our service. The fourth is Visaya Sangara. I know I should give up sense gratification, but I can't. I know sense gratification is not good, but still I'm attached. And because of that, I can't, you know, be enthusiastic. I can't. It's called weakness of heart. It's called, I forgot the word, the name in Sanskrit is weakness of heart. I know what's right, but I can't do it. Or I don't want to do it. Or maybe I'll do it later, but not now. Attachment to the temporary, attachment to sense gratification. It's too strong, I can't give it up. So, Visaya Sangar. And the fifth is unrealistic vows. Niyamakshana. I make a vow. Today I'm going to chant 20 rounds instead of 16 every day. So, I make a vow, and after some time I can't keep it, so I give it up. Or today I'm going to... I'm not going to eat any sweets ever again. No sugar. I'll be a staunch brahmachari. Look at these other brahmacharis. They're just eating all kinds of sweets, but not me. And some strong vow like that. Or what's another vow we make? Anakadasi, I'll chant 64 rounds and I'll fast all day and drink no water. So sometimes we make very strong vows. Or even a vow like, what's another vow we make? No sleeping. Janmashtami, 24 hours. Kirtan. Huh? I'm going to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Chant all my rounds before Mangalarti. Prabhupada says if you chant your rounds, Prabhupada said every one round before Mangalarti is worth 4 rounds after Mangalarti. So therefore I'm going to chant 16 rounds before Mangalarti. That way I'll get the value of 64 rounds. Yeah. You know. So vows you can't keep. If you're going to make a vow, you should keep it. And so vows shouldn't be unreasonable. Do better to make it a little vow and then gradually increase instead of making strong vows. Your desire is not strong enough, or you don't keep good association. When you don't keep good association, then the ability to carry out the vow becomes weak. So that's the fifth. These are all faults of bhakti. And the last one is taranga rangini. That is that I see that my advancement in Krishna consciousness, I'm getting people are giving donations. I'm the temple president. They like me. People paying down, offering their obeisances to me. So I see that because of these things are happening, I'm advanced. I'm advanced. So one starts to see their advancement based on these things. Because I've got a good position, because I've got, you know, people are saying, Hari Bo Prabhu, you're so good. You know. In other words, the advancement is not seen by purification of the heart, but simply by externals. What's happening to me, not what's happening inside. One is looking outside. So a lot of times people who are sannyasis or big people who have good position, they fall down because they get attached to these things. They get attached to glorification, they get attached to position, they get attached to being the controller, they get attached to the externals, and they forget about the purification which comes with chanting the holy names and associating with devotees in the proper mood of service. Their perception of their advancement is based on how many what's happening around them. Prabhupada says, you know, money and position is not a sign of advancement. It may be, but it's not a sign of advancement. Sign of advancement is how much you're eager to become the humble servant. That's your sign of advancement. Not so much whatever else is happening. So these are six faults in bhakti, and therefore one should be aware of them and guard against them and try to remove them from one's devotional life. This is mentioned in the Madhurya Kandambini. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains these things in greater detail. There are also obstacles. There's five obstacles in devotional service. This is also from the Madhurya Kandambini. Obstacles. I thought I'd speak a little bit about that because these obstacles make it hard, and these faults make it hard for us to develop Trinadapi Sindhi Chainata Yori Vasa Hishnada. To come to that platform, we have to be able to deal with the obstacles. We have to know the obstacles, too. We're trying to cultivate humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others, but still, there is so many other things that we're not doing correctly. So that makes it hard to really be genuinely humble, tolerant, and prideless. And there are four, five obstacles. One is called laya, L-A-Y-A, and that is sleeping during hearing and chanting. Sleeping. Does anybody know what the word soporic mean? S-O-P-O-R-I-C. Soporic. Yes. Huh. That which induces sleep. So there's more soporic during hearing than chanting, or more soporic during remembering than hearing. So there's the different kinds of laya. Some people are more sleepy during hearing, and some people are more sleepy during remembering, when it comes to remembering. We have to be careful not to overeat. If we eat too much, then we become sleepy. Too much eating makes too much sleeping. Too little eating also can make you sleepy too. Too much or too little. Too much eating puts one in the modes of passion and ignorance. And then it becomes hard to remain attentive and eager during classes and during japa period. Okay, that's laya. The next one is vikshepa. Speaking or thinking nonsense occurs while hearing and chanting. These are obstacles. While we're chanting, the mind is thinking about nonsense. There's so many kinds of nonsense. So keep the mind focused on the holy name. Keep the mind free from muiske, desires for sense gratification. Vikshepa means thinking of sense gratification or speaking about sense gratification while hearing and chanting. This is an obstacle. I'll mention these six, five, and then we can take questions on different ones. The third one is apratipatti. Apratipatti. A-P-R-A-T-I-P-A-T-T-I. Feeling incapable or disinterested. No enthusiasm. Maybe due to the fact that one is artificially humble. One is really just try to becoming humble, but really they're not really humble. It's an artificial type of humility. But there's no enthusiasm for devotional service. Lazy, lackadaisical. What we say. What's the word? Apathetic. Apathy. Sometimes we go back to the other list, on again, off again. We're enthusiasm or we're apathetic. We're apathy also. Just sometimes the apathy is doing that I'm incapable. I can't do it. Service is too hard. To associate with the devotees is too hard. There's really no fun in it. It's more fun, you know, watching television. It's more fun doing something different. Just disinterested. You know, I lose my enthusiasm for devotional service. Just no interest. Or feeling incapable. That's another part. Kshaya displays faults like anger, greed, arrogance during devotional service. Sometimes when one is chanting, they become angry or greedy. Or during when they're in the temple with other devotees, they become angry. Or they become proud or something. Displaying bad qualities during spiritual activities. Sometimes we get upset with the other devotees during kirtan or something. Exhibiting negative qualities in temple activities. This is an obstacle. It's called kshaya. And the last one is, this kshaya, another example is kshaya, is that I'm a cook, but sometimes my consciousness is not good. I'm upset because I have to stare near the fire all the time and it's so hot out. So my consciousness is bad. And then that consciousness just goes into the prasadam. The last one is rasavada, that one becomes so meditating on sense gratification that even while one's chanting, there's no hearing. One is thinking about sense gratification. Just like now I'm talking, maybe some of you are thinking, wow, one's prasadam. Or you're thinking about, you know, you're not even listening. You're just meditating on something else. The mind just goes somewhere and just starts meditating on some sense gratification. Like that. The mind becomes attached to sense pleasure. And you meditate on it. So these are the five obstacles also mentioned in Madhurya Kandambini. Six faults of bhakti, five obstacles in bhakti. Any questions? I'm sure we're all facing these different obstacles and faults in different ways. Until we become fixed in our consciousness, and there's always these obstacles are there. The faults are there too. Any questions? Yes.
When some etiquettes have to be followed by performing all the Vaishnava activities, so some etiquettes are not followed by some devotees, then we may get upset because it was, everyone knows, but said that etiquette of kirtan, suppose we are doing, so devotees are not properly playing the instruments, so we may get a little bit disturbed because the proper kirtan is not going on. So that time, especially in temple hall also, so we tell them to stop or whatever, so how to consider it and how not to do these things?
It's a problem. Sometimes it becomes too much, that's one thing. But generally we should tolerate things, you know. Because sometimes, you know, a kirtan is not melodious or not smooth, but still there's a lot of bhakti there. Bhakti doesn't always mean what we say performance of, you know, perfect performance. It may exhibit itself in different ways. You go to different places, you find different kirtans, and sometimes there's a lot of bhakti, but there's, you know, no expertise in practice. But sometimes people also, they're doing it wrong. So you should gently and very humbly try to correct. Usually that should be done by the authorities. A lot of times we can wait till after when the kirtan is over and then make some point. Sometimes if you correct during the kirtans, it becomes disturbing. So use your intelligence. We have the authorities to do the right things.
Only they want that there should be nice kirtan, and those who are not trained, they should not play in the temple hall at least, because the outside people comes and they want to hear nice kirtan.
That should be there, generally. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada differed in one thing. That was their, Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't so much strict about excellence, called excellence of mellows, that everything is so melodious. But Prabhupada was more strict because preaching, in the preaching mood, especially in Western countries, the nice performance is more like a type of preaching for people in general, like that. So, of course, we should do everything nicely, especially playing the instruments. But we have to be careful how to correct things. I remember there used to be one sannyasi, and he would sing, and someone would not be playing. He would say, "Stop playing!" He would take the cartels right out of their hands. "Stop playing." Last night I came to take darshan, and the kirtan was going on. I just came into the temple. Somebody was playing the cartels so loud, my ears were going through the walls. And I was just thinking, I got to get out of here. I couldn't stay in the kirtan. I just came to take darshan, but the kirtan was going on. So, yeah, I wasn't going to correct him. I wasn't going to go up to him saying, "You're smashing it too loud." I was just moving away from him, going to a different place in the kirtan room, the temple. So I didn't feel like I should correct him. But maybe someone, you know, if that's why we have authorities, they make sure that the programs are going on nicely. If everyone becomes the authority and does all kinds of correction, then it's a problem like that. So those who can lead should lead kirtans. That's why we designate the leaders ahead of time. Those who are playing should play nicely. Like that. No practicing during the functions. I'm learning to play the mridanga, so therefore I have to practice during the kirtans. But then again, we want to do everything nice for Krishna's pleasure. If it's not done nicely for Krishna's pleasure, then we should let someone else do it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said that we should have complete faith in the scriptures, especially the stories given in the Puranas. Like now, for example, it is mentioned that Ananta Shesh is holding Prithvi, this earth, on his head. Or when there is an eclipse, it is Rahu and Ketu which are swallowing the sun. So when it comes to thinking, it becomes rather difficult to accept this as a kind of faith. So how do we get out of this confusion? Maybe to justify it to an ordinary person is even more difficult. But even for us, it becomes a little difficult to.
Well, we have to understand.
Take them as they are.
Yeah, you have to understand that these things are beyond our mind to accommodate. If everything was accommodatable by the level of the mind, then the mind and the scriptures would be on the same level. But it's not. These things are coming down. A scripture is a parushad, spoken by the Lord or spoken by the Lord's empowered devotees. So they're free from the four faults, cheating, illusions, making mistakes, and imperfect senses. So if your mind was able to understand everything, then you would be as good as, you would be in transcendence. But the mind is not. Atasi Krishna Namadi. Nabhavedrayam indriya sevaku mukhihi jivado swayameva sparatyada. And that only when the senses are purified can they reach the transcendental platform. So we can logically explain these things up to a certain point, but then beyond that point it's a matter of faith. And faith, along with the process of devotional service, you start to realize things. Spiritual, certain aspects of spiritual knowledge is realism. It comes through realization, not simply through, you know, intellectual attempts to understand things. It's just the way this, just the we are on this, and if things are not beyond, actually, what is it? Jiva Goswami says, "Achintya beta beta tattva." Achintya means inconceivable. So there are things that are achintya, inconceivable. But they're realized through the purification of the mind and heart. Scriptural knowledge is actually, it's realized knowledge. It's not just intellectual. A lot of things we can accept with our intellect, but there's other things we can't. So, let's see, what is that verse in the fourth chapter? For the doubting soul, there is neither happiness in this world or in the next. One who doubts the revealed scriptures, for them there's neither happiness in this world nor the next. Huh? Astrada dananas. Yeah. 440. Yeah. 440 in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, your doubts and will keep you unhappy. I used the example last night. And the scriptures say all stool is contaminating. So if you touch stool, you have to bathe. But then again, it says that the stool of a cow dung, is pure. So how do you understand that? Scriptures say, and you just have to take it. Yeah. Stool is contaminating, but the stool of a cow is pure. And we use it for bathing the deity. All bone is contaminating, but still we blow the conch shell. The conch shell is a bone. So therefore we have to take scripture as evidence. If you have no faith, or if you approach things through the mental level, and then you'll see that you'll always be lacking in certain areas. The mind and senses are imperfect. Yeah, and still doubts are there, but as long as, yeah. Krishna had 16,108 queens. You can accept that one. Which one can't you accept? Sheshanag is holding the earth on his head. Anantashesh. Why? Because he's not strong enough? Or you can't see him, or because the scientists say it's gravity. Can you see the air? No, but the air is there. You can't see it, but it's there. I mean, there's a lot of things you can't see. And we can see within a certain range. But as the senses become purified, then you can, your ability to see things also increase. Can you see the germs? They're here. Can you see Anantasesh? If you're a pure unalloyed devotee, he'll reveal himself to you. Simply seeing is seeing. There's one statement in the West. Seeing is believing. Because I can't see it, I don't believe it. Okay, can't see a lot of things, but it's happening. Do you believe Krishna's there? Yeah, why not? Well, if you can't believe Krishna's there, how can you have some problem with Anantasesh? Why not? I mean, Krishna's. I mean, it's hard to figure how Krishna's a cowherd boy. You believe that, but Anantasesh, he's not holding up the earth. It's easy for him. In fact, he's holding up all the universes, not just the earth. It's not happening. What was the other one? Huh? Oh, Rahu. Acha. So most of your problems are with science. Are you a scientist? No. Normal means ignorant. To be normal means to be ignorant. I don't want to be normal, I'll tell you, that's for sure. And people are suffering so much, and they're the normal people. Devotees are happy, we're not normal. It's better to be not normal. That way you can be really happy. Because people see. So how do you know? They say the eclipse is something, I don't know what they say, but anyway. The sun. So you don't believe in Rahu, you don't believe in K2, all these things. Doubt. There are some doubts. But again, we use the principle that there are certain things that you can't understand. This is a fact. The scientists, they can't even figure out how energy is transmitted from eating food. You eat food and your whole body becomes... And they don't understand that whole process yet. They know it works, but they don't know how exactly it's happening. But it's happening. There's a lot of things we can't see. So many things, but they're happening. And you have to understand that the senses are also limited. Even the eyes. There's certain things you can't see. There was a time when devotees held a big program and only a few people came. So devotees were apologizing to Prabhupada. Oh, the program was a failure. We worked so hard to make a big program. Only a few people. Prabhupada said, didn't you see Narada Muni was here? So Prabhupada saw Narada Muni, but the devotees couldn't see Narada Muni. So there's a lot of things you can't see. Yes, Prabhu.
But sir, we have the example of the anchor for material attachment. But sir, the example of the anchor, lifting the anchor.
Yeah.
So as long as the anchor is not pulled, one cannot, the boat doesn't move forward.
Yeah.
This example seems to indicate that as long as one is materially attached, there is no advancement at all.
But we know that Neha Bikramana, Krishna says in the Bhagavad-gita that on this path there is no diminution or loss.
Yeah.
So if somebody is unable to give up his material attachment, but still is chanting and is doing the devotional service, so then is that mean that he's not making advancement? Or what is the, this example supposed
that
to be?
Verse, Neha Bikramana Sosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Swapam Apasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobaya. Prabhupada explains that this verse means that if you, by taking up devotional service, you're guaranteed a human birth in your next life. Greatest fear, and the greatest fear is to fall down into the animal species and lose the opportunity for to perform devotional service. That is the greatest fear. So if one sincerely takes up the process, and even if they fall away, and they're still guaranteed a human birth in their next life, because they rendered that much service. So that's what that verse really applies to, that they'll get a human birth. So again, the question was?
Anchor. Is it that?
Well, anchor means at a certain point, because you're not removing certain desires for sense gratification or certain attachments, your advancement somewhat becomes stopped or slowed down. You're chanting, you're not moving forward. And this one of the faults of bhakti is inability to make advancement. That's another fault. And that I'm doing everything, but still I'm not making advancement because there's some attachment there. Usually that happens after a while, when one refuses to remove that attachment. There's some attachment there. I'm just attached to, sometimes it becomes subtle. I'm attached to being recognized. I'm attached to, how was it? Ramanujacharya showed the example of how his grihastha, what was his name? Dharmaraj? Or what was his name? Danodadas, he was more detached than the brahmacharis who were attached to their kopans. Somebody took somebody's kopans and they said, no, it's mine, like that, fighting over there. So there's attachment. We can get attached to little things. We get attached and then our advancement slows down. See, Krishna consciousness means Krishna is putting you through a certain level of test. Everyone is being tested. And then you're being faced with your attachments, you're being challenged in different ways. And as you make progress, then you go to the next level. As you go to the next level, you're being challenged and attacked on that level. So Krishna consciousness means continually passing tests, one after another. The ultimate test is death, where you have to give up your body and still remain fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. So we're being tested. And at one point, during your tests, if you can't pass that, that means you don't move forward, but you keep getting that same test again. And then if you keep failing the test, then gradually you'll start going backwards. You remain attached. I just won't surrender anymore. I've surrendered enough. I can't go any farther. Ultimately, this process is meant to bring you to the perfectional stage. And you have to always be in the mood of surrender. So attachments are gross and attachments are subtle. Gross attachments are easier to identify. Subtle attachments are more difficult. Profit, adoration, distinction. Desires that are contrary to the principles of bhakti. Subtle desires. Like I know people, they may have been, a big, powerful leader. So, and then they have some difficulty and they fall down and they give up the whole process. Rather than coming back in a different position, a less, more humble position, and just continuing, because they're so attached to being in that position. Maybe they were the guru or a sannyasi or a big... Now they're seen in a different way. Their pride has been smashed and they can't no longer... They can't come back as just as a humble Vaishnava. So they give up the whole process. Becomes too much of a traumatic experience to play a lesser role. Of course, that a lot of time that's due to the fact that the society of devotees are not compassionate enough. That could also be there, but still, it's a fault. Okay. Any other questions? We have. I'll speak a little bit about the fourth. Nadanam Najanam the Sundarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamayama Majanmani Janmani Ishware Bhavatad Bhaktira Hai Tuki. This is the next verse in Shikshastika. And this is the stage of ruchi, taste. What does nadanam mean? I don't want wealth accrued by following the path of... Wealth could mean wealth of piety. When you get wealth from following the vanashram dharma system or performing karma kanda activities. Money is there, but that is not the complete definition of dhanam. Dhanam means the wealth of piety accrued from one strictly following vanashram. Not janam, I don't want. Janam means followers, but that also means sons, servants, friends, relatives, also. Not just, guru has followers, but. Janam means also that I'm looking for so many people to glorify me. I like my following. Some people, if nobody follows them, they get a dog. Dog likes to follow. Janam means followers, like that. Friends, relatives, servants, sons, husbands, wives, followers. Janam. Sundarim, some Prabhupada chanted the word Sundarim as beautiful women. I don't want beautiful women, but then again, Sundarim also means I don't want to be known as a literary person, that I can speak so nicely on scripture, I can quote verses so nicely, I'm so expert at, poetry. And beautiful verses, advanced learning in Vedic knowledge. This is also Sundarim. This is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's example. So the difference, there's a little difference in Janam and Sundarim, and as a broader definition given by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Also, beautiful women can follow into the category of janam. So I want, nice ladies to follow me, so many things. So, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye manma janmani janmani, I don't want liberation also. What does it mean? Kavitam, I don't have my word-for-word translation here. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaram, kavitam, va jagadisha kamoye. Kavitam. Oh, kavi, is poet?
Kavita is poem.
Poet. Kavi. I don't want liberation. I remember Radhanath Swami was telling me there's one group of somewhat transcendentalists. They chant this verse, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamuye, and then they stop. They don't say the last part. I'll do it for one life only. No janmani janmani. I want liberation. I'll give up all these things if I can get liberation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't even want liberation. What do I want in your devotional service? Devotional service surpasses liberation in all its glory. One who is the servant of the Lord is in the best position. One the servant of the Lord is perfect. There's no greater position than being the Lord's servant. And regardless of my position, as long as I can engage in devotional service. This verse is on the platform of Ruchi. In this platform, one is constantly, a constant desire to hear and chant the glories of the Lord without getting tired. It doesn't depend on good singers, doesn't depend on good instruments or speakers. Any kirtan is good, any lecture is good. There's two kinds of platform of Ruchi. One is one that depends on good kirtan leaders and good speakers, and the other that doesn't depend. Both are considered Ruchi. My Ruchi is if somebody is good at it, and my Ruchi, it doesn't matter as long as Krishna is being glorified. Two types of Ruchi, like that. So this is the fourth verse of... Only when Lord Chaitanya was giving out benedictions to his devotees, he was asking them, please take some benediction for me, ask anything you want. And the devotees were saying, give me devotional service, make my friend a devotee, free me, give me association with your devotee's life after life. Let me just be born in the house of a devotee. So they weren't asking for anything material. One who has a taste, ruchi. Ruchi means taste. It's sweet. There is a taste. Krishna consciousness is sweet. Material life is a hard struggle for what? Just so you can lose whatever you struggled for. Yeah. You work so hard and you got to lose it anyway. It's all gone. Sometimes you lose it before you die, and sometimes you lose it when you die, but you got to lose it anyway. But devotional service is never lost. It continues life after life after life. To be the servant of the king, they say, is just as good as being the king. Servant of the king enjoys on the same level as the king. So even Krishna likes, he sees that being his servant is better than being him, so he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to be his own servant. Because he knows that the servant is actually enjoying just as good or more than the master. So that's a taste. We want to get that ruchi. Ruchi comes by being steady in our spiritual practice and removing... being free from the, what we say, the obstacles and the faults. Study these books, Madhurya Kandambini, Harinam Chintamani. These are important books that we should learn. Shikshastakam prayers, they're all part. They help us see what we don't need and what we do need. Lord Chaitanya, when he was cleaning the Gundicha temple, he cleaned it once, but he cleaned it the second time, because the second time he removed even finer particles of dust. So cleaning the Gundicha temple was like cleaning the heart. The heart can have finer and finer particles of material contamination. It's hard to see these That's when we get knowledge from these scriptures. The spiritual scientists such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati can teach us, take us deeper into the mood of removing the finer aspects of material contamination. Okay, any more questions? Yes. There's higher and higher, what we say, moods of bhakti. Prabhupada said very few men want to go back to Godhead, and so those who desire to go back, it's rare. But then again, there are those who don't even want to go back to Godhead, they just want to serve. So that's even, what we say, more exalted. That just let me remain your servant life after life, it doesn't matter. Lord Brahma prays, let me become a blade of grass in Vrindavan so the gopis can step on me. He doesn't mind. He's Lord Brahma, the ruler of the universe. He's got the biggest power and position, but he's thinking, I don't mind becoming a, I want to become a blade of grass so the lotus feet of the pure damsels of Raja can touch my head and become, I can become, you know, what we say, supremely benefited. So, if someone wants to go back to Godhead, that's good. But if someone else sincerely wants to simply become a servant and is not even trying to go back to Godhead, but is just trying to become a perfect servant, that's higher.
In pure stage, they don't even want this like liberation.
Liberation, yeah.
And they don't ask. So at that, when the pure devotee's level is achieved, then in the sense that level, he doesn't ask for liberation also.
Yeah.
So ultimately, he wants to remain servant. So is it a Lord's desire that he wants him to back to his place? Or
that's up to Krishna. The devotee wants what the Lord wants. If the Lord wants to take me and put me in a different position, or wants me to come back to Godhead, just like when Prabhupada was here, and he was praying to Krishna, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay or do you want me to come back? I don't care. I'm whatever you want, I'm willing to accept. But then again, there's another aspect that as one develops in their bhakti, their love for Krishna becomes intensified. And then in that intensified love, they actually want to again go back to Godhead and be with Krishna. But sometimes they, even in that, they put that aside. And although that's there, they say they still are willing to stay if Krishna wants to stay. But in their heart they want to go back to and be with Krishna again. So there's higher levels of what we say selflessness in bhakti. The gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani, are the personification of supreme Sudha Bhakta, or that more pure bhakti that cannot be imitated by anyone in the material world. So. But on our level, we should aspire at least to go back to Godhead. If someone is doing that, then that's good, and that's considered exalted. Someone asked Prabhupada, I heard this tape, he said, is there some devotees who never go back to Godhead but remain in the material world as preachers? Prabhupada said, yes. They just travel from one universe to another and they're just preaching the glories of the Lord. That's their service. They don't go back to Godhead. You want that one? That's a good one. Huh? If you like to travel, you can go everywhere. But that's really exalted. They're not even thinking of going back. They're just thinking of the compassion for the fallen conditioned souls is their mood. And they know that the Lord is eager to bring others back. So they remain in the Lord's perfect instrument for that. Yeah, you can.
Like Lord is also for you everywhere. You are also in material world. He sees
Sorry, I'm not sure. Happy, satisfied, just serving. One who sees me in everything and everything in me, I'm never lost and he's never lost to me. Krishna is everywhere. That's pure Preman Jivitam Bhakti Vilochanena Satas Sadaiva Rideyesha Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sunda Chinta Guna Sarupam Govinda Maripurusham Tamahambaja. When you have love, then you can see Krishna. Chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just chant. Try to remember Krishna all day. While you're doing your service, think of Krishna. Any more questions? Yes. How do you get such perfect tilak? Are you? I'm a like Tilak Dhari. I think if I was here for 10 bursts, I could never get my tilak that good, even in 10 bursts. Really? Takes time. How long does it take you to put tilak on?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling in one of the Shishtashtakam, Shishtashtakam prayers, that he is feeling separation from Krishna, like it's like 12 years or more. But then pure devotees generally sees Krishna everywhere. How is it that simultaneously he is feeling separation also, and is seeing Krishna also everywhere, you know?
Simultaneous. This is the seventh verse. That the whole world is void without you. This is the mood of what we call Vipralamba Seva, serving the Lord in separation. That the last two verses are in the mood of Radharani. And we have the example where Radharani was sitting with Krishna, and there was a bee flying around. Bzzz. So a bee is called Madhu. No. So the bee was bothering Radharani. So what's his Batu, Madhav Mangal, he came in and he chased the bee away. And then he said, Madhu was gone, Madhu was gone, Madhu was gone. And Radharani was saying, Madhu was gone, oh, Madhu was gone. And Krishna's sitting right in front of her. But she was hearing, Madhu was gone. So she was thinking, Krishna's gone, but he was right there. So can you understand that? Ecstasy of separation. Just the thought that Madhu is gone, although he's right there. Vipralamba Seva. Vipralamba Sevas and Sambhog go together. Sambhog becomes complete only when Vipralamba is there. Otherwise, Sambhog is not full, complete. To describe what is the state of that mood, the state of Vipralamba is the state of absorbed in service. One is so absorbed in service that one is trying to see Krishna through their service, but they're just so absorbed in serving Krishna that they want to see Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself, and then he's gone. In order to keep their service going, increases their service. So Krishna appears, sometimes Krishna appears, and sometimes he's gone. Just to keep us enthusiastic for his service. So we are pretty much in that mood. We're in the mood of Vipralamba. That's serving Krishna in a mood of separation. This is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What is that mood that I want to serve as much as I can? Service means chasing after Krishna. I'm trying to catch Krishna through service. Trying to capture Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, he reveals himself and a devotee feels happy. and then the next minute he's gone again. Testing, keep your love increasing like that. The last two verses are pretty much exclusively dedicated to Radharani's mood of devotion. So I wouldn't try to come up to that standard right away. Right now we're on the third verse. If we can cultivate that one, we get to the fourth verse, then we're thick, and then we're somewhat. And then the fifth verse is Ayinandan Tanuja Kingaram. That verse is in that mood where we're just praying. I'm feeling so much separation from you. That is we're hankering for Krishna like that. And then the next verse, Nadana, what is that? No, what is that? Nayanam Glarada Srudharaya. That I'm chanting, but when will I start feeling real love for you? I have no love. Praying for that bhakti, praying for the sweetness of Krishna's holy name. That's in the mood of bhava. That verse is in bhava. The first four verses are in sadhana bhakti. The fifth verse is a combination of sadhana and bhava. No, the first five verses are sadhana bhakti. The sixth verse is a combination of sadhana and bhava. And the seventh verse is bhava and... Bhakti Vinod Thakur's explanations of Shikshastika, like that. So there's three books that are important a devotee should read. And of course, read Prabhupada's books, they're very important, but try to read Harinam Chittamani is very important for serious devotees. Madhurya Kandambini and Shikshastika, these three things, everything you want to know and more is in those verses. Well, everything's in Prabhupada's books, but Prabhupada has made it simple. He's broken it down, and it's there in a more simplified form. In the Madhurya Kandambini and Harinam, it's more in the concentrated form, like that, same thing. Any more questions? We can stop here. Yes. I have no understanding of time. No, I'm just oblivious to what's supposed to happen right. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Om.
Jai.